Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back on a beautiful Saturday here in San Francisco, California, the studios of 95.7 The Game, right here on Kearney Street. Cam Williams, Sterling Bennett, and Dan Devone. What's the weather like out there, Sterling, on the red planet?
Well, right now inside my house, it's about 64 degrees, so it's pretty cold. They got the sweater and the pajamas on, and we're all bundled up trying to stay warm. The coffee pot's on as hot as it can possibly be, but it's been about around 64 every single day for the past couple weeks. Dipped into the 33s at nighttime, so the winter is definitely here. It is not coming. It is certainly here.
So you get sort of that Nevada, Las Vegas-esque weather. Yep. As opposed to Southern California. So the winters at night can get really, really chilly where you are.
Yeah, so like during the summer, it's about 102 at times. It's desert heat. It's dry. It's desert. It's desolate. There's no sidewalks. It's rock and sand and dirt and cactuses and tumbleweeds. In the winter, we're talking, you better be bundled up. If you're not, you're getting hypothermia. You don't go outside. It's freezing cold. It's Barstow. It's Las Vegas. It is high desert weather all year round.
Did you ever see Breaking Bad?
I have, yes. Yes.
And you remember when he goes into hiding? And he's basically the lead character. He's basically in asylum. It looks like you don't know where he is. And he gets every, like, once a month, they'll deliver him food and books. And I'm sort of assuming that's kind of where you are.
I get the drop package once a month at the door. Here's your food for the month. No one talked to him. There's no contact at all. Mom and Dad have no idea where I'm at right now.
All right, so the Golden State Warriors losers to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and for the first time this year, they get blown out 136-117. Keep in mind, the Warriors in the midst of a five-game roadie, which, by the way, they were undefeated going into this contest, and the Warriors coming off their most significant, their most impressive win, that and a victory over the Boston Celtics, where I think, well, maybe here in the Bay Area, and this often happens when things get regionalized, and I think a lot of people here in these parts were aware of what was going on with the Warriors, that there was some momentum that was beginning to build. There's a little groundswell. There's a little murmur like, hey, you see what's going on with the Warriors? This team's off to a hot start. Weren't expecting this, and people were getting excited. Whereas I think from the national perspective, people thought, well, it's the Warriors. Like, they don't have Klay. Steph's old. Draymond's old. The heyday's over. The dynasty's done. The Warriors are maybe the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, maybe the ninth best team out of the Western Conference. And then last week happened where, in front of the world, the Golden State Warriors beat the Boston Celtics, and they do it out there in Beantown. Now, the Boston Celtics, obviously, the defending world champs. There are a lot of storylines. This is building into a good rivalry between the two. The Warriors beat them in the NBA championship now going on 3 years ago. Obviously, we know what happened over the summer in which Jason Tatum was overlooked, at least in the eyes of Boston Celtic fans, that caller on line two from Worcester, Mass. Yeah, that's Steve Kerr. The hell with him. I mean, there was a lot of hatred of Steve Kerr because he benched Jason Tatum in that first game against Serbia and would sit him down. A lot of people felt that that had nothing to do with the United States team trying to win a basketball game. Rather, it was a little payback against the Celtics and the fact that he is a member of the Boston Celtics, that it was personal for Steve Kerr. Obviously, it wasn't, but it just fuels the rivalry. So I think that win just opened the eyes for a lot of people who stood up and took notice what it is that the Warriors have been doing up to this point. And they were getting a lot of national play this past week, where the Warriors now suddenly are on the radar of a lot of people. Whereas I think, you know, prior to that victory, they were just, you know, the Warriors, where the dynasty had come to an end and they were no longer relevant. Now they're beginning to open eyes, where a lot of people are beginning to take an interest in what it is that they're doing. I do want to talk about last night, and Sterling, I'll let you get into this, but first, I think Steve Kerr is sending a message. So Steve Kerr, after the game, you would think, and by his body language and watching Steve Kerr on the bench, I think early on he knew, because he's played in this game. He knows that you're going to have warts like this, right? That this is just part of the NBA. He recognized the low energy from his team, and he could see that Cleveland was on a heater and that this thing was done, I don't know, 8 minutes into the contest. And I think that afterwards, personally, I have no idea to verify this, that he knows that, look, we were susceptible to a loss like this. But I don't think he wants to deliver that message to his team and or publicly. And so he was somewhat critical of his team in what was a blowout game, which I think was to be expected to a certain level. Cam, let's go ahead and play that bite.
Well, we got to respond. We got to, you know, we need to practice tomorrow. We got to execute better. I just, you know, we had 13 turnovers in the first half. We were completely disorganized, and that's where I feel like we need the most work. We've got to continue to work on our organization and just getting settled so that we can execute and understand how to execute against a team that's playing, you know, at that level defensively.
Sterling, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, what Steve Kerr is saying is that while last night happened, that's not who we've been all year. Let's not let one game give us into or put us in a tailspin. They have not been turnover prone. They were the fourth best three-point shooting team in the entire league before last night.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This team has played extremely well. They were top five in offense and defense efficiency before last night. You've been one of the best teams in the NBA before last night, so don't let last night's loss against the Cavaliers lead to something worse. You know who you've been for the first eight games so far. Don't let that ninth game open a door to creating bad habits. We saw last year, this team was turnover prone. They didn't play good defense. Transition defense was atrocious last year for the Golden State Warriors. And while they can still improve in certain areas, like it's not even 10 games into the year just yet, I think what Steve is saying that, you know, look, last night wasn't great. We just lost. It was sloppy in that first half. It gave us a near 40-point deficit in that first half. We can't do that to ourselves. Let's tighten things up tomorrow and get back at it on Sunday against OKC. And that's fine. You have to bounce back, clap back, respond. And that goes into what Steve Kerr is saying in that soundbite we just played.
Yeah, I think Steve Kerr is trying to tell his team that on one hand, I get it. I've played in this league, and I shouldn't ride you guys, but I am. Because he's got to keep the bar high. There's a lot of coaches, and Steve Kerr could have taken this one of two ways. Like, that was bound to happen. Sure. You know, when you're on the road like this, things like this are inevitable, especially when you're a team that's been playing as well as we have, and the Cleveland Cavaliers have been playing as well as they have. It was sort of the perfect storm. But I think that what he's saying subtly to his team is that, and everybody else, that this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And that we're disorganized as a basketball team, and I don't care if it's the end of a roadie. And I don't care how well we played up to this point and whether we've been playing beyond our skis, that this is the measuring stick. And what's the measuring stick is that we're competitive in every basketball game. We expect to win every single basketball game. He's building a winner here with his Golden State Warrior basketball team. And it's not just a cute story to Steve Kerr where, yeah, we're going to lose, obviously, to the Cavaliers when you get off to a slow start. That's okay. I'll take 7-2. No. He wants to be 8-1, and he expects to win every game. And I think that that was the message and the shot across the bow yesterday to the rest of his team.
Well, you talked about earlier with Kenny Atkinson about the culture, right? Coming in and establishing a culture with the Cavaliers. Young players that are ready to take off, take that next step, similar to how the transition from Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr was in Golden State. Yeah, we'll be competitive under Mark Jackson and do things well, and you'll be in the playoffs, but Steve Kerr took them to obviously a dynasty run with the culture reset, with, you know, establishing, hey, I don't care what last night looked like, that's not who we are. We are a much more refined team. We don't turn the ball over. We play good defense. But my question, I guess, would be, well, all that's great. Well, I am firmly behind that being a great message to your team of like, look, you know, I don't care what happened last night. We're going to be better tomorrow. And we're not going to be better because last night was so bad. We're going to get better because we have to. But I think that this may be a little bit of a response to last year. And not directly a response to last year, but indirectly. Because last year was so out of hand. So many things went wrong. There were so many emotions in the building with Klay and Draymond. The team wasn't as good as they were a couple years ago. And they just couldn't figure out how to win basketball games. And I think Steve Kerr sees that, hey, the way we've played through 8 or 9 games this year, we can go somewhere with this roster. Buddy Hield's been playing like prime Klay Thompson to begin the season. This bench looks incredible so far. You're getting a lot from your depth pieces, and guys you don't expect to get a lot from, you're getting a little more than you thought. And so I think that Steve Kerr is like, look, I see a lot of potential in this roster, and even if we lose by 20 or near 20 to the Cavaliers last night, you beat Boston 2 nights ago. You have every right to walk onto that court if you play a clean version of Golden State Warriors basketball to have your name in the conversation of NBA Finals contender. Now go out there and prove it.
Taking a look at some of what it is that the text line has to say, and I'm just sort of generalizing and getting the pulse of the people, because that's what I do, nice. Stone, is there's a lot of people that are saying, you know, lineup changes, that Steph Curry can't shoot or can't play with non-shooting players. He needs a little help on the floor. People don't like the combination of Wiggins and Pajemski. Wiggins is better off the bench. Look, I know that jumps out to a lot of us after watching what happened yesterday. There's a lot of, whether it's lineups, matchups, a lot of scenarios you can point out and say, well, this is why the Warriors are struggling, or this is why the Warriors are getting blown out, and make sort of these general comments. I think that when you don't have that energy, which is clear, and it's going to happen on a roadie like this, I think that when you're lacking defense, it creates that sort of stagnant play that you saw from the Warriors. The Warriors, make no bones about this, they haven't really changed who they are going back to 2015, 2016. I was talking about the last time Steph was in OKC, or not the last time, but what I thought was, to me, the most iconic moment in what has been obviously a Hall of Fame, brilliant career, but that shot from the logo, the game winner, was my favorite. But as much as we get enthralled with the three-point shooting and the Splash Brothers, and even what's going on this year with Buddy Hield and Steph Curry and company, defense has always set this team in motion. Defense is, and they always were, if not number one, number two in the league defensively. It oftentimes got overlooked, but that's what sets you. That's how you get out to the three-point line and have numbers. That's how you get that man advantage. That's the energy that propels everything that happened on the offensive end. It's always started at the defensive end. There's always been buy-in defensively. So when the defense, and that's clearly what you have to keep an eye on when you watch this Warrior team, if the defense is not there for whatever reason, that they're just not bringing it, they're not suffocating, they're not blitzing guys like they did against the Celtics, where they were just every double team or just every blitz they had on Tatum out high or whoever was handling Pritchard. The Warriors were creating turnovers. They were suffocating. You could just see it. It was jumping off the screen at you. When it wasn't there against the Cavaliers, that's when you run into offensive difficulties. That's when you can, you know, that's when these scenarios, oh, Steph Curry can't play with fill in the blank, or Wiggins isn't good as a starter, need him up. No, that's just simply because you could not get into any offensive tempo. You can't get into any sort of offensive rhythm because that defensive presence, which is really sort of what you've made a name for yourself up to this point in the season, it wasn't there last night for whatever reason. That sort of defensive intensity you saw against the Boston Celtics that created the offense against the Celtics was not there. That's why I can't buy into a lot of what it is that I'm reading here, that, you know, Steph Curry can't play with non-shooters, or Wiggins and Pajemski are better off the bench. It was good to see Pajemski back in uniform, and just to talk about his game. Where are you at with Pajemski, and where are you at in terms of how he played last night? Hadn't seen him in a couple of games because of the... Or actually, hadn't seen him since, I guess, the second half of that Celtic game.
Yeah, I think Pajemski, he's really struggled to shoot this year, so I think getting him and finding him rhythm is going to be really big for this team. I do think that Pods eventually, I think, could find himself into the starting lineup instead of Gary Payton II, and we can kind of dive into maybe the rotation in the first six or so minutes with the starters a little bit later. But going into the defense, which you brought up in regards to blitzing, the one thing the Cavaliers did great last night that the Celtics didn't do. One, I think that not having Jaylen Brown hurt the Boston Celtics, but they still lost, right? And other guys weren't hitting their shots even when they got open. Whereas last night, the Cavaliers, they're a great passing team. They were moving that ball around left and right, not even giving the Golden State Warriors an opportunity to blitz them, to double-team them. And when they did, all their guys were hitting shots. And it's not just luck. They're a good three-point shooting team. You look at what the Warriors did last night. They tried, in a way, to replicate how the Boston Celtics game plan went, with blitzing Tatum, almost making the other team's non-stars, not their number one guy, beat them. And last night, the Cavaliers said, hey, we got five or six guys deep here. It doesn't matter if you double-team us or blitz us. We're going to find guys open to hit our shots. And the Golden State Warriors couldn't answer offensively when the Cavs got off to a hot start. So I do think that, yes, there's rotational, maybe starting unit issues with how they've begun the last two games. I think that it's been kind of a head and tails or a two-faced coin against the Celtics and the Cavaliers and what we saw the last two nights with them. But I do think there is some credence to that the Warriors need to get a starter in the mix with that, or they need a shooter in the starting lineup with Stephen Curry, but also the defense wasn't working last night. You can't do the same thing every single night against the Celtics and the Cavaliers and expect the Cavs team that's a lot better than the Celtics are currently, that are shooting out the wazoo, to not hit their shots. So I think that's kind of a mixture of an issue we saw. Bad start, and the Cavaliers were just incredible last night from beyond the arc.
The number, 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. Cam tells me we're going to officially open up the phone lines. They're getting backed up a little bit. We'll start things with Gloria hanging out in San Francisco. Gloria, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. I totally agree with the thought of the Warriors being out of sync, out of rhythm, out of energy. They performed great prior to the Cleveland game. Cleveland has built something special there. They have length. Their bigs are able to be athletic as well as shoot. Buddy Hield has played brilliantly. I think the Warriors just ran up against a juggernaut last night, and they were energized and waiting on the Warriors to come. With that being said, I don't want to take anything away from how the Warriors have played. I do agree that they are building something special there. I do believe that they need some defensive prowess. I'm wondering, what do we do to acquire that? Are we waiting on that guy that we got from Philadelphia to return? Do we need to think of trading to get a defensive person or an offensive, a second shooter perhaps? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good job, Gloria. I think that in order for trades at this juncture, I'm letting things breathe. I still have to assess who the hell I am as a basketball team. Love the start. And I think you were referring to DeAnthony Melton, who was back in the starting lineup yesterday, or not in the starting lineup, but was back in uniform, back on the floor yesterday. But I think I need a little bit more time just to see, is Jonathan Kuminga come the trade deadline? As you referred to, Sterling, somebody that I'm going to move? Do I need to make, what am I missing as a basketball team? In terms of assessing this, the Warriors of this season, it's a little premature because there's so many moving pieces. There's so many different parts. And there's the possibility that if this is the status quo going forward, I don't know that I need to make that drastic move. That this Warrior basketball team is something that I can, you know, that I can ride until the end of the season because I have so much depth. Either you're into the depth or you're not. And if you're going to play the 12 to 13 guys, then if you're going to bring somebody else in, if you're going to move players, you're going to disrupt that card. So I can't make any sort of overall sort of judgment on this basketball team as to who they are and pigeonhole them into a variety of groups. This is what they're missing. They need a big. They need shooters. They need somebody with a defensive presence. Oftentimes, you could attribute that to the Warriors or any basketball team. But this team, because it's so different, it's so unique to anything we've seen in the Steve Kerr era. We're playing 13 we. I'm going French. I got nothing to do with the basketball team. No more we. The Warriors are playing 13 dudes. All right? That just simply doesn't happen, certainly with Steve Kerr. So as far as what do we do with the trade deadline, what are they missing, where do we go from here, I can honestly tell you, and I think Steve Kerr would echo this sentiment, that I don't really know what the hell to think until I see a little bit more of this. If this is sustainable in a month, if you're still amongst the top or two or three teams in a month or 2 months from the NBA, I'm going to ride this horse all the way to the finish line. What do you say, Sterling?
Yeah, I think I would agree with you. I think that any of the, I guess, questions you have about the Golden State Warriors of maybe it's a second shooter in the starting lineup, or how do they fix the defense, a lot of those answers, at least you hope, are going to be found internally, at least to begin the season. You're going to find out which rotations work. How do you start games compared to how do you close games? Those lineups don't have to be the same. I would love to see DeAnthony Melton eventually, or even Pajemski, once he gets his shooting fixed, become the starting shooting guard for this team. It'll open things up for this motion offense they're currently running with the Golden State Warriors to help Stephen Curry out and hopefully get off to hotter starts to begin the seasons and the games. But in regards to making a massive trade or finding a piece to help the defense or the offense, I do think that if I was going to dive into my tinfoil cap here, that playing a 12 to 13 man rotation does one of two things. One, it showcases some more players to around the league of what they can do for you and how you can acquire some pieces. But also it keeps Steph Curry fresh and Draymond Green fresh and Wiggins fresh. That way, let's say there's a guy in Milwaukee named Giannis Antetokounmpo, and the odds that trade actually happens are slim, but it's still possible. You hear Brian Windhorst of ESPN yesterday, maybe it was on Thursday, talk about that. The Golden State Warriors are set up to make a big trade if they want to. Well, you go back to last night's loss for the Milwaukee Bucks, you have Giannis talking to somebody in the locker room saying, hey, if you don't want to be here, you can leave. Well, if that dissension is going to continue to happen in Milwaukee, you say, hey, here's Kuminga, here's Wiggins. I think it was our own Evan Giddings that said, hey, here's Wiggins and Kuminga and four first-round picks. Take them. Okay, well, in that same vein, you've also played a 13- to 12-man rotation for the first 2 months of the NBA season. You've gotten yourself to the trade deadline. You got fresh legs for your stars. You get Giannis involved. Gives you that stretch four you can play with and opens the offense up. You put yourself in that conversation for, wow, pretty good 2-3 months of the NBA season to begin. Now you have fresh legs for your stars. And you insert Giannis, you're in the upper echelon of the NBA. So although it's a stretch to even go that far, they haven't even played 10 games yet. Everything we question today or even tomorrow is going to have to be found internally to get to the NBA trade deadline, and then they may not even make a move at that point either. So they have a good team. They're 7-2. They can very, very much be 8-2 come tomorrow night. That's really impressive. And you beat OKC, you're starting to see the Fox Sports and the ESPNs and us and other people talk about, hey, this Warriors team might be for real with what Steve Kerr is cooking out there in the Bay Area.
I'm not one of those. If anybody spends any time, and I don't know why you wouldn't, listening to me and Warriors this week, is that it's just a personal rant. I don't want Giannis. I don't want Paul George, and I don't want Lauri Markkanen, and I didn't even want Kevin Durant. I just don't think that you win by mercenaries or piecing together stars. It has to be more organic than that. And when you look at every NBA championship team over the last 10 to 15 years, it's dudes that you drafted, right? It's about guys like that of the Boston Celtics, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, that you got in a draft. And guys, players that are under team control, if I have to give up, because it's going to take a lot more than Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga and some draft picks, because, and I mentioned this last week, when you're talking about Giannis, it's not only a good basketball player that maybe starts barking for a trade. This dude is synonymous with Milwaukee in a small market.
Yeah.
Milwaukee has one thing, beer and Giannis. Maybe beer, brats, and Giannis. Maybe not in that order.
Packers. the Brewers.
But he's everything to Milwaukee. So yeah, maybe we'll trade him, but you sure as hell better come stronger than Wiggins and Kuminga. I want Wiggins, Kuminga, maybe Pajemski, Trace Jackson, Davis, and throw in I don't know what. But they are going to, if we're actually going to move off of somebody that's not only a good basketball player, but somebody that means as much to the community as Giannis, it's going to cost a lot, and to me, it's not worth it. Austin, my man, you got to hang in there. We're up against it. You got to get to a break. Don't go anywhere. Austin, standing by. We got more of your calls. It's Cam Williams. It's Sterling Bennett. It's Dan Devon. Warriors this week just getting started. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.